Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that multitudes perhaps are fearful of talking about or touching it. It's as though it's what's called the third rail in the transportation of the train track. There are folks that don't want to touch that third rail. That's the hot rail for your electronic or your electric automobile, or cars, that is, or trains. And so many refer to that as the third rail. And unfortunately, many pastors, preachers, teachers, and spiritual leaders and Christians stay away from it because they don't want to alienate anybody. They say they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And after all, that him or shim or she or her may be the wrong pronoun. So I want to just tiptoe around that. And I think it's time, ladies and gentlemen, we as Christians come out of the closet ourselves. I think it's time that we take a stand on what's moral and ethical and valuable based on the authority of the Word of God. Because after all, in eternity, that's the only thing that counts. Multitudes will spend a lifetime trying to think and plan and do what seems to be politically correct and what will, as the old cliche, win friends and influence people. And you're afraid of running somebody off. You're afraid of alienating somebody. So you can tiptoe around these moral and ethical things and not say anything. I think it's time that we as Christians step up to the plate, speak out, be visible, verbal, vocal, and not be ashamed of what the Word of God says. I am saddened to see those that are ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, fearful that you're going to hurt somebody's feelings. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the legislation of immorality. Back in my era, back in my day, and I'm still less than 100 years old, we had those that said you can't legislate morality. When you want to have things that used to be called under the Presbyterian laws, the Blue Book, the Blue Laws, where you had to stay closed on Sunday and you could not operate a business on Sunday. I can recall as far as back as 1991 right here in our city where they were passing legislation by the city council that would allow liquor by the drink on Sunday. Now that's almost the norm. You find 7 days a week liquor by the drink in any of the institutions, any of the restaurants, any of the places you go to eat a family meal. You find that. But they were still on the books that you could not sell alcoholic beverage by the drink on Sunday until 1991 in Duval County, and the laws were changed. I got beaten up pretty heavily because of standing before the city council, and they called me a Bible thumper because I went back to the Word of God and stated what the Scripture says and not what man says. But, ladies and gentlemen, we need to come out of the closet and be heard and be seen. We're talking about the legislation of immorality, and along with that are also passing the laws that says that Christians cannot do certain things. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the major things that's taking place now in California, they've just passed legislation where it makes it illegal for a Christian counselor to counsel with an individual that is sexually dysphoric, that's confused about their sexuality. The laws in the state of California now will penalize a Christian counselor by way of fines and or imprisonment if that Christian counselor breaks the so-called law that's been passed that says that they cannot counsel with those that are sexually confused. That's putting it into position, ladies and gentlemen, where the state is coming into the business and the ministry of a local New Testament church and are with Christians. But, ladies and gentlemen, it's on to the point now in the state of California that it's so upside down that I don't know what you could say that's good in any legislation that's passed in the state of California. And, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things, too, these same rules and regulations are now being used to fire teachers or to suspend teachers or to dock teachers and their pay that do not use the correct pronouns for the sodomite transsexuals or the gender identity confused students in the classroom. Even colleges and universities today are debating the gender identity issue and attempting to make illegal that which is heterosexual at every level. But ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says school backs down on trans plan after parents freak out en masse. Now, I want to point this out to you because this is one of the illustrations that I use in pointing out that parents can make a difference. If we stand up, speak up, if we're verbal, vocal, and stand against the issues that's being promulgated today that's destroying morals and ethics and values in our homes and families. It's destroying faith and family and the future of our homes in America. Here's an article that says, school backs down on trans plan after parents freak out en masse. Dateline, October the 17th, 2019. A rural Georgia school district backed down from its transgender activism after parents flooded a meeting to protest opening up bathrooms and showers according to gender identity rather than biological sex. Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, explained that Jasper, Georgia has only 3,800 residents. So it was a big deal when 900 of those people squeezed into the Pickens County High School auditorium, determined to stop Jasper County from becoming the next step in the March for Transgender Bathrooms. He noted residents, quote, already had made accommodations for the two students who identified as another gender, setting up single-person restrooms for anyone who wanted to use them, end quote. But the students weren't satisfied with that. They weren't satisfied with the compromise, and they demanded to use the facilities for the opposite sex, which would violate the privacy rights of the other students, end quote. Further, the article says, in places like the UK, where this sort of gender free for all is commonplace, parents are distraught about the rise in their kids' anxiety, he wrote. Some girls are staying home, for they don't have to use the bathrooms with boys. Others are risking bladder infections by not drinking water at all during the day. Here in the USA, even liberal parents are calling it a bathroom crisis, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, and yet you would think, in fact, as I pondered, it is so antithetical to anything that would be called wisdom, much less any normal, mature, adult consideration of the subject. When you understand that in Genesis 1:27, the Bible clearly says that God created male and female, created he them. God didn't create a mistake. He didn't create a Shem and a him. He created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. He created a man and a woman, and there's only two genders. The only two genders, I don't care what anyone says. In fact, I've got article after article after article in my archives where even medical science and scientists and physicians have already declared there's no such thing as a mid-gender. There's no such thing as one that's being a transition form or a transgender. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, it's an impossibility with all the hormones that one would take, all of the sexual disfiguration that could take place, to change one's DNA and one's gender. It's just simply an impossibility. But ladies and gentlemen, they're passing legislation, they're passing laws and rules that promulgate, that's being put in place, the promulgation of those laws by rules and regulations by bureaucrats today and by those that we elect to lead us that are, I believe, themselves sexually dysphoric. How else would they be dumb enough to pass such legislation? Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that says, court warned diversity rule could make supporting marriage unethical. Let me read that headline again. Court warned diversity rule could make supporting marriage unethical. Dated October the 19th, 2019. Judicial officials in Iowa are considering a new rule that would limit the speech and religious rights of lawyers. Protection for lawyers' freedom of speech and free exercise of religion are at risk in Iowa, said Matt Heffman, a lawyer with the Thomas More Center. And if lawyers' rights are at risk, so are the rights of the citizens they defend. This is serious, this article says, from the Thomas More Law Center. The rule would define a professional misconduct regarded as discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. The Thomas More Law Center Society warned the rule would lead to severe punishment of Iowa lawyers who speak in favor of socially conservative positions such as traditional marriage. It's easy to see this rule being used oppressively to silence the opposition, said Michael McHale, a lawyer with the society. The rule would prohibit Iowa lawyers from engaging in harmful verbal conduct that manifests basis of prejudice toward others. The new Iowa rule makes professional misconduct punishable if lawyers make derogatory statements and demanding statements they could consider harassment or discrimination against certain categories of people, end quote. He warned it could become a political tool to punish lawyers who espouse the traditional Christian family values, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, back a number of years ago, one of my sons says he thought that in America with the system and what we're doing today, he said they've lost their freaking minds. And I believe that we've, as a nation, we've lost our freaking minds. We are legislating immorality. And in converse to that, we're making rules and regulations and laws that then are not just making immorality legal, but it's also making illegal that which would be moral and ethical and biblical and that which is good for society based on the authority of Scripture. ladies and gentlemen, we need to wake up and smell the coffee and understand that we're in a serious declension in America today. And lest we get back to the basics of what the Word of God says, lest we get back to the fact that we need to base what we do and say in a nation on the authority of the Judeo-Christian values as founded in the Word of God, we're in trouble. We're already in trouble. We're going to be in serious trouble to the point of no return in our nation. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen. It says, parents do control sex for kids, even in California. I find it refreshing that there is some little ray of hope with some of the parents that are banding together in a wicked, evil state like California. California, you know, the left wing, the land of the fruits and the nuts, as I've called it so figuratively down through the years. Dateline, October the 19th. Parents do control sex ed for kids, even in California. California parents trying to teach their children traditional values regarding sexual behavior have had many challenges in a state that has banned negative portrayal of homosexuality. Any negative portrayal, anything that you say that's antithetical to what they're doing in promulgating and pushing and glorifying homosexuality. But a new campaign is informing parents of a state law that gives them a right to opt out of the lessons on issues such as transgenderism and sexual orientation. Quote, it's clear the California Health Youth Act falls under the health and therefore can be opted out of in whole by the parents. School districts across California are being disingenuous when they are telling parents they cannot opt out of health topics if they include gender identity or sexual orientation. End quote. Quote, it is the school districts, their administrators and their teachers that need to be educated here. And that is what we intend to do. Parents have the rights and they need to be respected and followed if they wish to remove their child from the teachings that they disagree with. She cited the opinion of the Alliance Defending Freedom, which looked into the issue. ADF said it's up to parents to exercise their rights under these federal and state laws. Every parent should take the time to educate themselves on what is being taught to their child, ADF said. And when instructions related to health or sex education conflicts with the family's values or beliefs, parents have the right to have their child excused from the class when the objectionable content is taught, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's refreshing because so many times parents think that somehow, some way, you need to believe the devil's lie and to believe that you're the only one saying anything about it. I'll never forget back in 1991-92 here in Duval County, where they introduced the sex education. They didn't want anybody to see the teacher's guidebooks, handbooks, and I was able to finally prevail and get a set of the teacher's guidebooks on sex education. This is back in the early 90s now when it was first promulgated and introduced by the state legislation, passed by the law that was required in all the state of Florida school districts. And when looking at the material, the very first thing that's found in those large, voluminous three-ring binder volumes of sex education for the students in the Duval County classrooms, it said to the teachers, be warned. If any parent complains, if any parent comes to you with asking questions or rejecting what you're teaching, be sure and tell them, well, no one else has complained. You're the only one that's ever said anything. You're the only one that's come with a complaint when you may have had hundreds of other complaints, but try to play it down and tell the parent that they are somehow the problem, that the parent somehow is the one that's objecting and no one else is doing so. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been beaten down as Christians to believing that somehow, some way, our moral, ethical values and biblical stance on what the Word of God says should be some way swept under the rug and we should not say anything about it. I'm talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, the fact that we're watching the legislation of immorality in our nation. And it's not only by federal laws, but also by state and local agendas and the laws promulgated thereby. Ladies and gentlemen, on the national level, you've heard me talk about it before, and at the risk of redundancy, may I say once again, on the national level, the greatest sweeping law that will destroy morals and ethics and values, faith and family and the future of America is House Bill 5, passed by Nancy Pelosi's 240 votes in the Nancy Pelosi's socialist, Marxist, Democratic governance that's now leading and pushing and promulgating these types of laws in America. It's House Bill 5. It moved on to the Senate after it was passed by 240 votes in the House. It's now Senate Bill 788. 46 senators is already on board with that. But ladies and gentlemen, in House Bill 5, it will force churches to open their doors to the perverts and the pedophiles if you open your doors to any public event. It will allow the perverts and the pedophiles and the LGBTQ and the transgender movement to enter into the churches and use whatever facilities they desire to use. Churches will be forbidden by law if this legislation ever is signed by any president and it becomes law. Ladies and gentlemen, it will regulate the code of biblical ethics for churches and their employees. It will regulate the gender and the gender identity being forced upon churches. We must pay for the transgender surgeries if we have health insurance provided by a church or religious organization. That insurance must also provide for the payment of transgender surgeries by anyone that demands it. You cannot preach or teach against the LGBTQ agenda because that would be considered hate speech if House Bill 5, Senate Bill 788 ever becomes law. Christian bakers and Christian florists and Christian wedding planners will be prosecuted and persecuted unless they comply with the LGBTQ agenda and being forced to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article. It's in a magazine that I think is worthy of mention. And in this particular magazine, I think the article is very, very clear. It goes into great detail. It's the Billy Graham Organization magazine, Decision Magazine, was July, August of 2019 magazine. And it says churches and religious schools and other faith-based nonprofits would be required to abide by the newly framed Civil Rights Act and related codes. The law would make no exemptions for religious institutions and explicitly invalidates the federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, one of the promulgators of the bill said that this bill, if it passes as law, will trump any religious rights, any religious liberties, any religious freedoms found in the First Amendment. This magazine, Decision Magazine, recites the rights of parents to make choices for their children on question of sexuality or gender, including medical treatments, would be superseded by federal civil rights codes. The law would strip parents of any right to raise or to educate your child if this belief is contradictory to the government mandate. Thirdly, male-bodied trans women would have rights to women's private spaces such as bathrooms, locker rooms, showers, prison cells, homeless shelters, women's shelters, hospital rooms, women's conference rooms, college dorms, elder care facilities, and sports leagues, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Bakers, florists, photographers, video photographers, web designers, wedding venue owners, and public officials who believe in traditional marriage would be targeted, prosecuted, and persecuted for their beliefs. Faith-based adoption agencies or women's shelters could be forced to shut down. Doctors and psychologists and psychiatrists and counselors would be coerced and threatened to abide by the new sexual orthodoxy. People who failed to use transgender pronouns would be subject to fines and being fired. Ladies and gentlemen, that's being passed now in legislation in different pieces and portions across the United States of America today. And at the same time, ladies and gentlemen, we are pushing things that are so idiotic and so unnatural that it just does not make sense at all. Ladies and gentlemen, in our college and our universities, they're debating that gender identity issue and adopting and making rules and regulations that makes it illegal to even be talking about or promulgating or pushing heterosexuality. And all of this is happening, ladies and gentlemen. These bills are being introduced that, if passed, would destroy morals and ethics and values. And at the same time, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching this take place. The Bible is still illegal in the classrooms. This is the reason I'm pushing so strenuously that we pass legislation this coming legislative session in the state of Florida that will allow the Bible to be taught in classrooms as an elective subject across all classrooms and all student courses. There will be an option where the students can take it. But the Bible is still illegal in the classroom. Display of crosses still not allowed in the classroom. Classroom students cannot pray in the classroom or even say God bless you when someone sneezes. Recently, ladies and gentlemen, a student was suspended from public school for simply hugging his teacher. You heard me right. This article says school suspends a 12-year-old boy for hugging his teacher. It is from the Forest Grove Middle School in Worcester, Massachusetts. The child attends Forest Grove Middle School. The seventh grader said he was playing with friends in the gym class last month when the teacher told him to sit out. The child said he went up and hugged his teacher, asking her to let him play again. Later that day, he was called to the office and was suspended for 10 days. The boy's mother is shocked. She said there's nothing in the school handbook about hugs, and she thinks the teacher should educate students on the boundaries in their classroom. Quote, I was told that he put his hands on a teacher. I was shocked and asked for the details of what had happened, and I was told he simply hugged his gym teacher. Quote, then I went over just like the boy saying, then I went over just like, and I gave her a hug and said, please, don't, I don't want to sit out because I like the game. And at the end of the day, he said, I just hugged her. Nothing really happened, the student said, end quote. Just for hugging your teacher, you get suspended from school, and yet they're promulgating the morals and ethics and values that's destroying our students and their ideas of what is natural and godly. Here's an article that says, ministry. Kentucky law makes helping people illegal. Kentucky state regulators ordered a Christian ministry to stop giving eyeglasses to homeless people to help them get jobs, promoting a legal warning from the Rutherford Institute, arguing that orders violate the group's constitutional religious rights. Further, the article states, make no mistake, this is yet another instance of bureaucratic overregulation, government criminalization of those who work to alleviate the plight of the homeless, and general disregard for religious freedom in America. Ladies and gentlemen, everything that we call religious rights and religious freedom and our First Amendment rights are being trounced underfoot, trodden underfoot, and in some way legislated to be ungodly, unholy, immoral, but illegal, ladies and gentlemen. And I find it disingenuous to anybody that thinks otherwise. Teachers are being fired for acknowledging their spirituality. If a teacher happens to acknowledge on social media of any fashion that he or she loves the Lord and posts a verse of scripture, they're chided, challenged, persecuted, and or fired from their jobs as a result of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have places like Washington, D.C., that's now moving forward to legalize prostitution. You heard me. To legalize prostitution. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to talk about that for the next few minutes. But the problem with that is, once it is passed as being legalized in Washington, D.C., it will run like a juggernaut across America, and all other states will be wanting to jump on the bandwagon. Just as right here in the city of Jacksonville, where some of our city council members are wanting to decriminalize the use of marijuana. And once you decriminalize it, so, well, they can just have a half ounce or an ounce or a milligram, whatever it may be, the law enforcement's going to be hard-pressed then to try to enforce that regulation because they will have no way of measuring the amount the person has. But this article says, ladies and gentlemen, D.C. poised to open the floodgate of sexual exploitation and trafficking. The article further says, under the guise of improving community safety and health, D.C. Councilman David Gosso, and he names all of the others that introduced it, have now put forward D.C. Bill 23-0318, also known as the Community Safety and Health Amendment Act of 2019, which, if passed, will amend the existing D.C. statutes to fully decriminalize prostitution in the nation's capital. The proposed bill seeks to decriminalize not only those who sell sex acts, but also acts of pimping, brothel keeping, and sex buying. Further, the article says, several members of the NCOSE team, as well as the allies from D.C. and across the country, offered powerful testimony in strong opposition to the bill. Their words fell on deaf ears as the bill's lead sponsor, Councilman David Grosso, showed a raw disdain for the opponents of this bill. Further, the article states, nearly all the persons currently prostituting who testified in support of the bill explained that they were either abused as children or began prostituting as minors. This is plain evidence of the typical pathway into prostitution, child sexual abuse, and sexual exploitation of children. Some supporters of the bill, including Grosso, believe the minors can consent to participating in the sex trade in D.C. Did you hear that? There's the mindset in D.C. by the one that's promulgating this bill that a child can consent to a living in a lifestyle of prostitution. Further, this article says it's also evident of the deeply broken social system that the D.C. Council should be working to fix. rather than throwing the city's vulnerable population like meat on a table to sex exploiters. At the same time, this article says, at the same time, unleashing the full predatory force of the sex trade at D.C. residential communities will make the occupying, accompanying sexual abuse of children and sexual assaults on adults more invisible than ever. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the further legislation of immorality in our nation. And now in the nation's capital, where they will make it legal to have an open prostitution in the capital of the United States of America. Here's an article on the same subject. Legislating sex act in D.C. will lead to disaster, says one top expert. Judith Reisman noted that the representative representatives of dozens of LGBTQ activist groups delivered to D.C. council members a letter urging adoption of the law would decriminalize sex acts in the nation's capital. The letter said, quote, as lesbians, gay, bisexuals, transsexuals, queer, LGBTQ, and allied organizations, we know that the decriminalization of sex work in D.C. is critical to the health and well-being of the LGBTQ community, including the improving of public health and decreasing the vulnerability of marginalized sex workers, particularly transgender women of color. You notice what they are claiming, ladies and gentlemen, that this law needs to be passed to legalize prostitution in D.C. for the health and well-being of the LGBTQ community. In other words, they wanted to have it legal so the LGBTQ pedophiles, perverts, and those that are sexually dysphoric can prey on our kids, on the families, and destroy morals and ethics and values, and do it legally. That's the end goal. That's the end game. That's the end manipulation of this entire LGBTQ organization and structure of what they're wanting to do, ladies and gentlemen. Here's an article that says the homosexual movement has come out of the closet. All the private vices and personal sins have always existed deep in the shadows of society. Now homosexuals are attempting to force society to accept their vices as virtues and their sins as a source of pride. That's what's taking place, ladies and gentlemen. We need to understand and recognize Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, what we need to do is continue to stand up, speak up, be verbal, be visible, and let our desires be heard and known and seen in the politicians. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Let's look forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.